If I was to ask you to name your favorite out of all of the 12 disciples, Peter, James, and John, and Andrew, and Philip, and all the rest, Matthew, and so on. If I was to ask you to name your favorite, I think a lot of people would probably name Peter. Peter is our kind of fellow. He speaks first and then engages his brain. And he does not mind asking a stupid question, if there is such a thing. He does ask questions, but he also doesn't mind speaking out. At one point in time, Jesus asked, will you go away also? And he said, where are we going to go? You're the one that has the words of life. When they came to arrest the Lord Jesus Christ in the garden, it was Peter. And you got to picture the scene. There's a whole bunch of armed Roman soldiers right there. Jesus and his disciples right here. And with all those armed Roman soldiers, Peter pulls a sword out and chops a fellow's ear off. And if it hadn't have been for God, he'd have cut the fellow's head in half. And then, of course, the Lord reached down, picked the ear up, and put it back on and healed it. That's amazing to me. Peter was a fellow that, in the book of Acts, the first half of the book of Acts is pretty much dedicated to him. The last half to Paul, of course. So the story today is just almost hard to believe that Peter would deny that he was a disciple. Not once, but three times. And if you don't hear anything else, please hear this. Even when you fail, God still wants to use you. You say, well, this is terrible. It is. But just a little bit later, in fact, tonight we're going to be in Acts chapter 2. Look how God used Peter at Pentecost. Do you want God to use you? I know I do. Do we feel worthy? I know I don't. But in this passage, we can see it's not a matter of worthiness that causes God to use us. It's a matter of God's grace. I do believe our willingness is certainly a factor there in our faith, but this isn't the end of the story, and I'm glad. The Lord had told Peter and the other disciples, he said, all will be offended because of me tonight. And Peter said, not me. Isn't it funny how we read a verse in the Bible and we say, well, not me. Yeah, all of us. All have sinned. And the Bible applies equally. And Jesus said, you're going to be offended. And he said, I won't be offended. But he was. Let's stand for the reading of God's word, please. I'm going to read verses 13 through 27 in John chapter 18. And then we'll have a word of prayer. The Bible says in John 18:13, they led him away to Annas first, for he was the father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest, but Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door and brought in Peter. Then said the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, art not thou also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I am not. And the servants and officers stood there who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold. And they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort. And in secret have I said nothing. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me, which I have said unto them. Behold, they know what I said. And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, Answerest thou the high priest so? Jesus answered him, If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why smitest thou me? Now Annas had sent him bound unto Caiaphas the high priest. And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, Art not thou also one of his disciples? He denied it and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, saith, Did not I see thee in the garden with him? Peter then denied again. And immediately the cock crew. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, without you, we can do nothing. Just as with Peter, we know we're not worthy, but we pray you would use us today. I pray the word of God would be very clear, that each one here would understand and would hear not from me, but from you, from the Bible, from what the Spirit has to say to them today. And God, I do pray for those folks that cannot be with us today for illness or other reasons, that you'd care for them. Heal those that are sick and raise up those that need to be raised up, and work in the lives of those that are slipping away and bring them back, we pray. I ask you to make the Holy Spirit have free course in our room today. And if there's one here that does not have Jesus Christ living in their heart, that they would receive him today. Please bless our time, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. First two people we hear about, and we see a lot about them in this passage. There's a man named Annas and a man named Caiaphas. Caiaphas was the high priest. Interestingly enough, Caiaphas was a Sadducee. If you don't know much about the Sadducees, there's really only one thing about them that makes much difference. They did not believe there's a resurrection. They believed that once this life ended, that was the end of it. That you were no more. It's the doctrine is called total annihilation by some. The Jehovah's Witnesses believe that. I want you to know something, that when you leave this life, there is something to come. Either eternal life or eternal suffering. And destruction is the word the Bible uses, and perdition. And at any rate, there is a life to come. This man's doctrine is not right. His motives are not right. He is jealous. He is conniving, and they have a plan. And before the Lord Jesus Christ ever set foot in the palace, they had condemned him already. Some people have done that. Some people have condemned the Lord Jesus Christ before they've ever heard the gospel. Aren't you glad you heard the gospel? Aren't you glad you listened and you believed and you're saved? And so those of us that have received the Lord Jesus Christ, there will be some opportunities in our life for us to stand up and say, I'm a Christian. I've told you the story, just briefly, in a car with the vice president of a company and another vice president in charge of marketing, and then a man who was a regional director, and the four of us went out to eat lunch, and this is a multi-million-dollar company, and the man that was the senior in our region was telling us all his Vietnam stories. He had been in Vietnam, and he plainly stated, I couldn't believe what I was hearing, he said, you know, I think life is... He said, I like to think life is just about just having as much success and as much entertainment, as much enjoyment as you can, because once life is over, life is over. And he's just like Caiaphas, living for today. And I'm sitting in the car, the junior member of the team here. I'm thinking, I got to say something. I got to say, I cannot just listen to this. I got to say something. And I was just about to worm my way into the conversation, and the senior vice president of marketing said, I don't know about you, but I'm a born-again Christian. And that made it really easy for me. I said, I am too. So I didn't have to work very hard to make my position clear. But folks, it's an honor to stand up for Christ. Amen. If anybody ever asks you, are you a Christian? Oh, you bet I am. In fact, the Bible says in Romans 10, that if we believe on him, we won't be ashamed. I'm not going to judge Peter. If my ministry was one 50th or 1/100th or 1/1000th of what his was, I would feel myself very successful. This man accomplished great things for God, but on this day, he failed. We'll see why here in just a minute. I saw something else in this passage, though, that really struck me. You got to remember that from the time Jesus had called Peter to be a disciple until this night when Jesus was arrested, Peter had seen God, had seen the Lord Jesus Christ do one good thing after another. He had seen Jesus raise the dead. He had seen Jesus walk on the water. He had seen Jesus feed the 5,000. He had absolute experience, visible knowledge, seeing what Jesus could do. And all of a sudden, for the first time ever, he sees Jesus bound. No miracles are taking place. It's a dark, cold night, and the wicked seem to be winning. I want you to know something. The wicked didn't win. God won. It was all part of God's plan. But think about this. I'm glad I'm a Christian. I'm glad I'm a Christian for so many reasons. Eternal life. Being able to talk to God. Having confidence that God's going to take care of me. But at this point in time, Peter did not see that happening. And I think we need to understand something. There are going to be times in our Christian life, even though we know the Lord Jesus Christ, and even though we have seen him do great things in our lives as well, there are going to be some times when there are going to be some dark, cold nights. You look at what happens here. Look at verse 16. It says, Peter stood at the door without. Now, the reason he's outside is because he's not welcome. He's not part of that group. Later on, John is the other disciple here, by the way. Later on, John comes and tells the girl at the door, hey, let this guy in, he's with me. And so, just for the record, she knew he was a disciple. Later on, when she asked him, aren't you a disciple? She wasn't inquiring so she could learn that. She was just making small talk. She knew he was a disciple. She didn't ask him because she wondered. She asked him just kind of to make conversation. No, I'm not, he said. That's sad. But he stands without because that's not the place where he's welcome. And folks, you know, if you're a born-again Christian, there are some places you're not welcome. There are some times when you're going to have to accept, I'm going to have to accept that we're not going to be popular because of who we are. And it's just going to happen that way. It may be at work. It may be in your neighborhood. We lived in Salt Lake City. And two doors down from us was a Mormon bishop. We had a little dog. We had several little dogs, but this particular one was a dachshund. And I do not know why, and I'm not condoning this, but my dachshund really disliked the Mormon bishop. And more than once, the dog would run out the garage door and head that way. I knew where the dog was going. And he'd pass two houses, maybe one, I can't remember. And he'd come to the Mormon bishop's house and stand in the Mormon bishop's driveway and bark at him. Rah, 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 rah. And I'd walk down there, pick up the dog, and the Mormon bishop says to me, I don't appreciate it that your dog comes down here and barks at me. And I said, I don't either. And I take the dog back home. So what are you going to do? But everybody in the neighborhood knew I was on staff at the Baptist church. And the Mormons, they know who everybody is in Salt Lake City. They got it all mapped out. And my neighbor on one side was a homosexual. And my neighbor on the other side was wicked. And then there was a Mormon bishop. We weren't the most popular family on the street. But folks, even when you're not popular amongst men, that's okay if you know God. Amen. If you're in God's crowd, you're in the right crowd. Right. You say, I'm not welcome everywhere. That's okay, you're welcome in the right place. Right. And it's okay to be unpopular. And just to remind you once again, nothing can happen to you unless God lets it happen. Oh, and let's put a footnote on that. Already on this night, they asked Jesus, he said, "Whom seek ye?" They said, "Jesus of Nazareth." He said, "I am he." And they all fell down. And that was him protecting his disciples. Peter's already seen Jesus knock the Roman army to the ground. He's already seen Jesus heal the servant's ear. It's okay to be unpopular if you have to. None of us like that. But there will be times when you cannot be a friend of every crowd you're in. There's something else that's even more powerful, I think, and that is sometimes, and every TV evangelist I know of is going to disagree with me, but that's okay, the Bible's on my side. Sometimes you're going to have to be uncomfortable. I was laying in bed sick yesterday thinking, oh, why? I got things to do. I really didn't want to be sick all day. And I know for a fact that there are some people right now, Eva, for example, she'd a whole lot rather be here than laying in bed somewhere. That's not the best example. We're going to go through times of discomfort in a variety of ways. The example I use here is real simple. In verse 18, the servants and the officers stood there, and they made a fire of coals, for it was cold. And they warmed themselves. And Peter stood with them and warmed himself. Now, I think you can see the picture, but I'll just really try to explain it clearly. In order for Peter to be comfortable in the cold, he had to stand with the enemies of God. And you're going to have to make that choice. There will be times in your life, and there will be plenty of them, I suspect, when you're going to have to face some discomfort. You could use any word you want to choose. Misery, pain, suffering, heartache. Those kinds of trials. Because you chose to receive Christ as your Savior. Because you belong to Him. Because you chose to serve Him. I've asked myself when I've gone through things in my life, why did I have to go through that? And if the answer is because you chose to serve God, then it's okay to go through those things. And for example, there are some things God's going to ask you to do that are not convenient. You remember that in the Bible, when they got baptized, many times what that meant was their family rejected them, their employer rejected them, the society rejected them. They took a side. By being baptized, they visibly said, "I have trusted Christ. I am a Christian. I'm one of His." And they picked their side. We looked at this in Genesis in the high school Bible class. Cain and Abel. You got to pick your side. And when you pick one side, the other side might not care for you a whole lot. In fact, in that case, the other side killed Abel. But at any rate, there are times when you're going to have to be uncomfortable. And if it's because you have chosen Christ, there's a reward for it. I put the verse in the bulletin that the sufferings of this present time cannot be compared to what God's prepared for us. Sometimes we're going to have to be unacceptable. In verse 25, here he is warming himself again. And they said in verse 25, they said therefore unto him, "Art not thou one of His disciples?" He denied it. He said, "I am not." And then look at verse 26. One of the servants of the high priest, being a kinsman whose ear Peter cut off. Wouldn't you remember it if your brother or your nephew or your cousin or whatever, if some fella chopped his ear off, you might remember who that fellow was. He said, "I remember you. You cut my brother's ear off." "No, no," he said, "I'm not one of His disciples." He denied it. And then the cock crew. And why is that important? Because Jesus had said, "Before the cock crows, you'll deny me three times." I got to ask you, was Jesus right? Sure he was. He's always right. And Peter had said, "No, no, that won't ever happen. Be very careful." It's a simple thought, but why did Peter deny Christ. Now, the overview would simply be this. God said it's going to happen. But what did Peter do that allowed it to happen or that caused it to happen? Or what was it in Peter's life that could have been different? And again, I lift Peter up not as an example of failure, but as an example of someone who God restored and used greatly. So this is just one step on the path in Peter's life. And don't ever let the devil convince you, please don't let the devil convince you that God is done with you, or that God doesn't want to use you, or that God is not interested in making you useful to him in the future. Don't ever believe that. God will restore you if you'll let him. But here's what happened. Just two or three things that are pretty obvious, I think. First of all, when Peter denied Christ, it began with him being a little too distant. A little too distant. And here's what I see by that. Again, if you look back in verse 15, Peter followed Jesus. And it seems like it was just him and John, doesn't it? It says him and another disciple. Were there other nine were? I know where Judas was. We won't talk about him right now. But the other nine, I don't know where they are. Peter's following, but he's a little too distant. In fact, it says that he was outside. He stood at the door without. And he's close, but not quite willing to stay as close as he could be. How close are you to the Lord? Amen? Do you know him well? Do you know him daily? Do you trust him daily? How many of those prayers do you pray? I remember when I was little, like 4 years old, my parents lived out in the country. And if you ever lived in the country, it's not a good country house unless it has one of those wood frame screen doors. You know what I'm talking about? The kind that they're kind of wobbly and they're not quite straight and they slam like nothing else. They just, you know, and they got a spring on them that's too strong. And so when you let go, it's wham, and it slams. And we had one of those, and my grandparents had one of those. And as a little boy, if I wanted something, all I had to do is run up to that screen door and yell in the house, "Hey, Grandma, I need a water. I need a drink of water," or whatever, you know. And then I'd go out about my business. And I think we pray like that sometimes, don't we? We're going about our business, and we're doing what we want to do. We need something from God, and we stick our head in the screen door and say, "Hey, God, I need this." And we go on about our business. Not quite the only way to pray. Not a bad way to pray once in a while. I pray all day like the Bible says, pray without ceasing. But do you ever go in the house and spend time with God? Amen? And no longer being about your business, but being about his business. And I'm going to tell you, the devil doesn't want you to pray. He'll give you 1,000 reasons not to. He'll get you too busy. He'll get you distracted. I can feel it when I get ready to pray, things begin to come up, things distract, things that come along, and the devil doesn't want you to pray because, folks, prayer makes a difference. Don't be too distant. When you're too far away from God, you're too close to failing. You're too close to denying. You're too close to not having what needs to be there when it comes time to take a stand for him. Peter was a little too distant. And you notice John was the one that remedied that. And I think John's a good example here. Aren't you glad there are people that are trying to get you closer? There are. I'm looking at some of them. Mr. Mendez spends time trying to get folks closer to God. He called me this week and he told me about some folks he talked to, trying to get them a little closer to God. Folks, get as close as you can. And be the John that brings somebody else in and not the Peter that has to be brought in. Don't get too far away. That's one of the reasons Peter failed. In verse 17, the damsel that kept the door unto Peter says, "Art not thou also one of this man's disciples?" Now, if you look, again, just a little bit earlier, in verse 16, John went unto her and brought in Peter. What do you think John said? I can speculate. I think I'm probably close. John went to the girl and said, "He's with me. He's one of his disciples." But when she asked Peter, in verse 17, he saith, I am not. Why? He's afraid of what somebody might think. I don't think he was afraid she was going to hurt him. She's just a girl. He's afraid of what somebody might think. Are you afraid of what somebody might think? You think about it, what would keep you from knocking on somebody's door? The greatest thing is fear. I've knocked on a lot of doors, thousands, I'm sure. There have been some times when folks weren't kind. There have been some times when folks were plain out unkind. I've never been hurt. Somebody here had a gun pulled on them. Who was that? Mr. Hill, was that you? Threat of a gun, okay. That's against the law, by the way, but anyway. You know, nobody's going to shoot you unless God lets them. And I haven't seen that happen yet. No, he's afraid of what people are going to say. And so, instead of standing up for the Lord, he's afraid of a girl, a little girl, and he says, I'm not a disciple. Folks, please let the Lord be strong enough in your life that you're not afraid of what people will say. I learned this in Maryland when I first took the church. There's two kinds of people. There's the kind that aren't on your side. Side is not the issue, really, but there's the group that doesn't agree with God, and there's a group that does agree with God. And when you take a stand and say, I agree with God, sure, that group over here that doesn't agree is not going to be happy, but a lot of other folks are. Don't be afraid of what people are going to say. And then in verse 18, we'll finish real quick here. The servants and officers stood there. They made a fire of coals. It was cold. They warmed themselves. Peter stood with them and warmed himself. The reason that Peter was weak enough to deny Christ, he was a little bit too distant. He was a little bit too concerned about what other people would say. He was standing with the wrong crowd. Who do you stand with? You may have a job, and I was telling this story to Brother Tim here before the church. I had two different companies I worked with in Salt Lake City, and everybody else was a Mormon except me. I was at a dinner with my wife, and 200 people, 150, 200 people at this huge dinner, and I ordered coffee after dessert. You should have seen the looks. He ordered coffee? This is Salt Lake City. We're Mormons. You know, they had an open bar, but they wouldn't drink coffee. I'm serious. They literally had a dinner, and they had hundreds of people there, and they would not serve soda or coffee. They had lemonade because he didn't want to drink caffeine, but then they had an open bar. Go figure. Folks, be sure you spend time with the right crowd. Amen. Spend time with Christians. Amen? Spend time in church. No better place to be. I have had the luxury, in Maryland especially, and here as well, over 20 years now, every day I get up and I go to work with people that love the Lord and that are saved. I know some of you don't have that luxury. I know you have to work with people that are lost. But that doesn't mean they're your crowd, right? This is your crowd right here. Amen? Spend time with it. Say, Pastor, how do I do that? First of all, be in church. Have somebody over to your house. Go over to somebody's house. Come down here to church in the daytime and say hi. Come help us out in the school. But just be careful who you stand with. Because eventually, they're going to affect you. Peter was standing there warming himself with the officers, and he was standing with the wrong people. Look, I know this is not easy. Peter betrayed the Lord. He was acting in his own strength. He denied Jesus plainly three times, and he had already denied that the word of God was true when Jesus said, all shall be offended. He was concerned with his welfare. he was watching the most atrocious, ridiculous miscarriage of justice that there probably ever has been when these people accuse Jesus of being guilty. And if you didn't understand, what they're accusing Jesus of is saying he's the Son of God. And he is the Son of God. So what he says he is, the Bible says he cannot deny himself, and this account is not as clear as some others, but ultimately he told them, that's who I am. That's who he is. And that's why they crucified him. There's no getting around it. Sooner or later, we're all going to have to decide, where do we stand? Do I stand with him, or do I stand elsewhere? The Bible says you're either gathering or you're scattering. You're either serving or you're not serving. And let me encourage you, don't say you can't, because it's true, you can't. But let God do what he wants to in your life. But that doesn't start by finding a chair somewhere and sitting down and waiting. That starts by doing what you can. You serve God by starting and doing what you can. What can you do? What can you do here at church? What can you do when it comes to sending out missionaries? What do you do when it comes to inviting people to come to church? Folks, we have a great church. It's a good-looking church. It's an honor to be a part of a church like this. Bring some folks in and let them be a part as well. It's an honor to have a Savior like we have. Bring some folks and get them saved. Be what God would let you be. Do what you can and let God do the rest. The ultimate reason Peter felt is very simple. He told Jesus, what you said is wrong, I know better. No, I would never do that. I would never offend you. And Jesus said, not only will you offend me, I can tell you when, and I can tell you there's going to be a rooster out there, and he's going to crow right after you've offended me three times. Folks, if Jesus is right about that rooster, he's right about everything else as well. There's a day coming when the Lord Jesus Christ is going to descend from heaven. The Bible describes it with a shout, the voice of the archangel with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Then there's going to be a great white throne judgment. Every man that has never received Christ will stand there. There will be a fellow there that smote Jesus on the face. There will be a fellow there who was the high priest who falsely accused Jesus of blasphemy. Peter will be there. You'll be there. I'll be there. And without getting too deep into the doctrine, the great white throne judgment is not for the saved, it's for the lost. The Bible does say, if our name is written in the book of life, then we're going to live with Jesus forever. If my name is not written in the book of life, we'll be cast into a lake of fire. And the reason all that we saw in this passage took place was because Jesus came to die and pay for the sins of man, so that you and I could live with him forever rather than being in hell. I'm glad Jesus was willing to endure that for you and I. I know that Peter later made things right, and that's important to remember. And Jesus, we'll see it later on, went to him with that intention of making things right. Today, there's two or three possibilities here, and we'll have an invitation. One of the possibilities is this. It may be that you're not close to God like you ought to be, that maybe there's something in your life that you need to get right with God. He wants to make things right. It may be that you're here today and you're right with him. Just remind you, serve him in his strength and not your own. And I'd also remind you, as a born-again Christian, if you're walking with God and you're in his will, there'll be some times when you're not going to be popular, sometimes you're not going to be comfortable. The times you're not going to be accepted, there's going to be times like that. That's just part of the Christian life. As we saw in Sunday school, it's a warfare. But it could be that there's someone here today that never has trusted Christ as their Savior. You know, I don't, but you do. I would encourage you today, please, let us take a Bible and show you how to know that you're saved. And then once you are, let's get busy rescuing the perishing. Amen? Amen. Let's all stand and pray.